We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another edition of the two-man game. I'm Espo throwing it up. He is Flex throwing it down. And today, you know what? A lot of people are wondering this. Why are we even Suns fans? when you're going through a tough series like this down 0-2 to the Timberwolves. But I want to leave the negativity aside. I want to leave the game breakdown aside. I want to actually seriously ask that question. And I'll get into mine too. But why did you become a Suns fan, Flex?
Man, this is a loaded question, man, because I am the youngest of 14 children.
From Jersey.
From Jersey. Flex from Jersey. 11 brothers, 3 sisters, and everyone's competitive. Everyone had their own little niche. And so I didn't want to be a Knicks fan, a Net fan, a Celtic fan.
Well, right? Nobody wanted to be a Nets fan.
Right. So, I was trying to find my own lane, and to my brother's credit, Carlos, God bless him, I love you, to this day for this, he noticed at about 8 years old, I had this fascination with basketball. He was like, man, this guy really likes basketball. So he took me to a game, took me to a Nets Suns game at the old Brendan Byrne Arena.
In the Meadowlands, right? In the swamp area.
Yes. Brendan Byrne Arena in the swamp, Nets. They had Mookie Blaylock. They had Sam Bowie. They had a whole bunch of guys with the Nets that you talk about now is crazy. But we had Kevin Johnson, man. I saw KJ for the first time. I fell in love with Kevin Johnson. And I think a week later, he bought me a KJ jersey. Nice. And that kind of did it, Espo. That kind of started the fire. And then I'll tell you what really did it, though. At that moment, I'm following the Suns from the newspapers, mm-hmm. right? Because I can't watch Suns games
there's
on
no
Easy
internet.
Family and no internet and there's no cable, right? So I can't watch the Suns at all. And they're a West Coast team, so I'm not staying up that late before school. So I'm just following through the newspaper. And then 1990, was it? When we played the Blazers in the Western Conference Finals, was that 90?
I believe it was 90.
Yeah, it was 90. That was the year they played the Bulls in the first finals, Mike's first finals. That was the year that the obsession became like an unbelievable drive to follow this basketball team. And again, it was my brother Carlos. They're playing the Blazers, and that was his team. Go ahead.
How does he become a Blazers fan?
Okay, I'll tell you that. So again, growing up in New York, New Jersey, common thing is Knicks Nets, right? My brother Carlos, his favorite player growing up in college was Bill Walton.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, so he was fascinated with Bill Walton. When Bill Walton went to the Blazers, he started watching the Blazers all the time, and he became a Blazers fan.
Now, saw the championship.
Correct.
Okay,
saw the championship.
So we're back to 90, Blazers, Suns, you and your brother against each other.
So we're against each other, 1990, and I'm about maybe 2 years into my fandom, but I ain't really hit it that hard. And then here's what happens. He did something that I still don't forgive him for. No, I'm serious. So I think I want to say that series went 6. I believe it was a critical game 5. It was 2-2 with a critical game 5 on TNT. I watched the game. I think it was a double overtime loss to the Blazers. Some crazy number, 140 to 136, something like that. Anyway, I come home from school. This is Baby Flex. And there's an envelope in my mailbox. And on the envelope, it says, from a secret admirer. And so being a kid, I'm thinking, oh, there's some girl I like at school.
She found my mailbox.
She found my mailbox, and she wants to say she likes me, and we're gonna eat some peanut butter and jelly and lunch tomorrow. And when I open it, it's the cutout of the newspaper that says Blazers outlast Suns. And that, yo, Espo, it created a fire that for the rest of my life, I still, when the Blazers beat the Suns, this still means something. Because it's like, yeah, I still remember that letter.
Do you send him the links now? Or
I do.
Screenshots?
I do. Yeah, I do. I take screenshots and I go from a secret admirer, buddy. They go, yeah, yeah. So that's how I became a fan, and it's crazy.
So
tell me yours.
Sibling rival. Well, so Cotton Express, Chambers, EJ in those early days, okay. Like that's kind of your team,
yeah,
right?
That's my team.
So that's your team. I'm younger, as it's pretty obvious.
You and Lynn.
I'm only a couple years younger. So, I was aware of those early 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s teams, but it was really 93. Barclay comes, okay. The new arena, the new jerseys. I vaguely remember watching the Dream Team that summer, and that kind of all got me excited and intrigued. And I was all in that, you know? Like jerseys. I was collecting everything. I had newspaper clippings all over my wall, posters, you know, everything. So I just kind of fell in love with it full bore. I didn't have cable,
yeah.
So I could not watch the home games. Those were all on cable out here, on like ASPN.
Really?
Or
so if
something.
You lived out here growing up, if you didn't have, you couldn't watch the local team.
You couldn't watch the home games. You could watch the road. Okay. On over-the-air television. So what I'd do is I'd watch all the road games on Channel 45 back in the day.
Okay.
And you know, Al and Greg Schulte at the time, and then Cotton Fitzsimmons. But so I'd watch that, and then I'd lay in my bed and listen to all the home games on this old Emerson radio with a cassette player.
Man.
And I listened to every home game of the 92-93 season while laying there. And I was I'm nine at the time. I'm super freaking superstitious, right?
Okay.
I'm laying in bed with my son's hat. They start going on a run. I don't move. I leave, you know, I don't move an inch, right? They start losing. I'm moving the hat. I'm trying to find a new position.
Dim the lights.
As if I'm some radio antenna that's changing the fortunes of Kevin Johnson, Dan Marley, and Charles Barkley, and that purple gang from Phoenix. And I've just always had a love for the game since then. And, you know, I played not well. I love when people try to insult me with that. You know, oh, you never played the game. You don't understand. I'm like, of course I didn't play the game. I had genetics that made me 5'9" and chubby. Like I didn't play. I played the game as best I could, but I loved the game and I watched the game and it's been a passion my whole life, you know? And so that was the introductory, you know, but it's been ever since then, you know, I worked. Working for the team was one of those things that was a dream come true. Like I thought I'd be there forever, quite frankly, because that was where I wanted to be. Getting to call Al McCoy, a coworker, and be on his broadcast doing those post games was a lifelong dream. I remember I was 11. It was probably the second season.
Okay.
I got to go to a game, maybe third, 96. I got a call. Our neighbor, he had a third row seat for a Nets Suns game. And only two, though, and he wanted to go, but he knew how huge of a Suns fan I was. So he said to my dad, he can come with me if you're cool with it. My dad said, okay. My dad drove me down to downtown Phoenix, sat in a car waiting for me. Well, I went to that game.
While you at
sitting
the game.
There, I got the ticket in my office. Charles Barkley grabbed his 10,000th rebound in the game.
Wow,
real fluke, and I have it autographed by Chuck, sitting in my office. But that same night, I brought a letter for Al McCoy because I wanted to say, hey, I really appreciate you. I want to do what you do someday, and I gave it to him, and it was a great interaction. And then I got to actually work with him, like this. You know, people. People don't understand this. We talk about the Suns 5 days a week, you know, every week of the year.
Yeah.
They want to say, oh, you're a homer, you don't understand this team, whatever the case may be, right? And the truth is, the truth is you grow up with it, right? And I get it. Media is supposed to be unbiased, right? That's what we're always told, which is a bullshit concept, quite frankly.
Absolutely.
There is bias in everything. anything and everything that people do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, of course, I've loved this team. I've lived in the city. It means something to me. That's why I've dedicated a large portion of my professional living to it. It has meaning. And I know it does for you. It's very personal. And I think people forget that, you know, they don't take that into account when listening to certain things.
Espo, I love this. I'm fascinated with this conversation. I'm glad you chose to do this today.
I think everybody needed a reset, a reminder of why we love basketball.
Correct. I couldn't agree more. I want to say something, but I have a question for you before I transition. What was that? Because I know what it was for me. What was that moment as a kid transitioning into being a Suns fan? What was that moment that took it to the level of, okay, I'm no longer a fan. This team is like my part of my life. Like, what was there a specific moment that there was an obvious shift and it was like, you know what? I can't live without this basketball team.
Paul Westphal's guarantee against the Lakers when he says, we're down 0-2.
Okay.
We're
down 0-2. That's okay. We have a game on. We have a game 3 on Tuesday. We'll win there. And then we'll play game 4 on Thursday. We'll win there. And then we'll come back on Sunday and win again. And everybody will say what a great series it was.
And it has been, but just not for us, is how he wrapped it up.
That's right.
And that was kind of the moment for me. And I was at an affinity for Westy because we were born on the same day. Obviously different years.
That
born
right.
On the same day. So true, like
the greatest in the valley. Same birthday. Oh
one,
boy.
One and me.
Come on.
But that was kind of the moment because your imagination gets captured. Anything's possible. There's magic. There's magic that can happen in a game.
Hold on.
You know, like I get it.
Hold on. This is good. No, this is good because this is not rehearsed. We wanted to talk about this. I didn't know what he was going to say. He doesn't know what I'm going to say. I will say this. We didn't want to do this show to talk about anything negative.
No.
We wanted to bring some light and enjoyment and remind people why we do what we do and why being a fan is such a special thing. But here's the irony of this. You just said something. You said that team was down 0-2 in a 5-game series.
Yep. Which is even tougher.
Which is even tougher.
They had to win 3 in a row.
And they had to win 3 in a row and they got done. So that was the moment.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, that it captures the imagination. You believe anything's possible. I mean, it helps that I was 9, right?
Yeah.
The world hadn't run me over in any way at that point. But you kind of go, wow. Okay. And I got as much heartbreak when John Paxson hit that shot. I mean, that was my introduction to pain and suffering at a very young age in a unique way. But that was, it's been ingrained in me ever since. And you try to keep that hope, right?
Yeah.
And you try to find that balance because as an adult, you also understand rational thinking. But, and it's tough in our spot because you have to kind of analyze and have the rational, but try to keep that flame of I'm a fan, I believe in certain ways. So it's that delicate balance. But that was the moment that really ignited that spark.
So, this is fascinating. And I'm having a lot of fun doing this with you, Espo. No, because you're bringing back an energy, an excitement, psychologically put me in a space that, you know, it's hard to get in sometimes when we do what we do. When we're in this business... Yeah. You're doing pre-games, you're doing post-games, you're doing daily shows, you're trying to look at the game, evaluate things, and put out a fair perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the job, right? That's our job, that's what we do. But at the same time, you're doing it as a true fan, as someone that has love and affection for this basketball team. So you always want well. So when people call me a homer, I'm like, yeah, man, I am. Like, I root for this team like I would root for my son and my daughter.
And I don't, look. Hey, not to get deep.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's get deep. Sometimes people need to hear this stuff.
The optimism. I hate that people get on you about optimism because it's necessary in this world, right? If everybody was, and I tend to lean more pessimistic at times, but if everybody leaned pessimistic, then nobody believe anything could happen, right? And nothing nothing interesting or special would, because nobody believed it. They just give in to whatever it was. Like, that's okay with optimism, and I'm okay with a belief. And I know if things get worse, you're going to call it like it is too. But yeah, that's part of it, because if you're a fan, you have to. I mean, I think it was Jerry Seinfeld said you're rooting for laundry, right? Because none of the guys that I watched and I fell in love with when I was 9 are there. I mean, Al's not even there anymore. So there's like, there's no real connection to it other than the colors. And then I know that's the same team I've carried through. So you have to keep some childlike wonder with it, or at least you should, because that's the only reason you're following this.
Like, that's right.
I mean, unless you're a heavy gambler and you're doing it for financial reasons, fine. But like, yeah, you know, in most cases, the only reason you're dedicating 2.5 hours every other night in your adulthood is because you watched this as a kid, yeah, and you want to feel some semblance of that again. That's right. So completely giving up is a tough concept for me too, because it's just not why you got into sports. That's you right. want to believe the impossible can happen at any moment.
Well, I mean, the fact that that 2-0 comeback and the West speech was kind of the spark for you. That's cool as hell. I mean, yeah, it's life lessons. Can I say something? I mean, I don't want to get too, like, I don't want to get too personal, but I, in a sense, I do, because I think these are the things that kind of, again, remind you of why you root for this team, what the real intent is. So I became a Suns fan from New Jersey. It's very difficult to be a Suns fan in New Jersey. And I literally followed the team through the newspaper.
Mm-hmm. Reading box scores
was how I followed the team, and I would imagine what the box score was showing me. I would imagine, you know, this guy did this, this guy did that. And then it became a fascination to the point where, and I said this before on a show, but I want to clear this up. My first true love, the game of basketball itself, mm-hmm, and the Phoenix Suns literally saved my life. I mean, Espoo saved my life. I'm growing up in the inner city. I'm exposed to so many things that, you know, kids that young probably shouldn't see. And basketball, the Phoenix Suns fascination, kept me from doing things that maybe I could have gotten some trouble. And I've never told this story publicly, but my freshman year of high school, I'm living in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we had a basketball game on very, you'd only get a couple games a year on TNT back then, right, for the Suns. There's a Friday game, I want to say maybe ESPN or something, and my friends invited me to a location, like a teen club. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Teen club, yep, in New Jersey.
I do.
Yeah.
They were Arizona. They weren't as cool as
right,
Jersey.
Right, right. So, yeah. So Friday nights, there was a little teen club in downtown Elizabeth, New Jersey, and we would always go there and hang out. But that Friday, the Suns had a game, and I didn't go. Hmm. And they were, and my buddies, I'm 13, 14, they're like, come on. And I'm like, nah, I'm not missing this game. Like, I already looked at the count. I got one more left.
Yeah.
Not missing this game. I'm going to stay and watch it. And truth be told, I want to even say it was a Sun Sonics game.
Okay.
So it was a big game. So I'm staying home. I'm not going. Espoo, there was a stampede at that club that night. 4 of my classmates died. Okay. And so I go back and people say, Flex, why do you love this? Why do you, you know, this team literally saved my life. My fandom, my love and appreciation for this basketball team might have kept me from going to a club I could have died in. But that's how fascinated I was with this basketball team. And so,
isn't that part of the point of sports, though, too, is because it is supposed to give us an outlet in some ways. It is supposed to give kids in certain situations a way to dream about different,
yes,
outcomes, yes, in life. And yeah, I know this has gotten real deep.
No,
I think I feel
no,
like
this is good.
That's why this is cathartic, and it was meant to be, because you watch these games, you get angry, you get frustrated, you go, oh, well, why? Like, right? We said, well, that came up a lot in our post game after game too. Why? And I don't know why. Why any of this? The why isn't now. The why is when you became a fan. It's right, that moment that, I mean, you remember. I watched Danny Man, whoever was your, Steve Nash was your guy, Raja, but whatever the moment was, the inflection point that you became a Suns fan, even for younger people, Devin Booker, yeah, you know, a 70-point game may have been when you became a Suns fan.
Yeah.
That's why we're fans. And you got to remember we want those moments. And I understand that's where the frustration comes from, yeah, though, too, because when you're losing, when you have issues like we've seen this season, it builds up because you just so badly want to have that feeling that you originally got. You want to see this team win. It means so much. But that's also the reason why we've stayed around for, 30 plus years.
30 plus. Yeah.
I mean, people 55 plus years, yep, that have been here since the beginning stay around because there is that hope. There is that, I want to see this. This has an important part in me, in my life. It's not just, a game. It's something that keeps me grounded to my home team, or something that reminds you of your time with your brother. Like those are the things. I think people tend to forget that. And I know some people be like, well, none of that matters. Well, that's fine if that's the way you feel. But to me, that's the whole reason and the whole course that my life took, because I fell in love with a game and then realizing I'm not going to play it, but how do I get to be around it and enjoy something like that? And that shaped every step of my life since I was 9 to I'm 40 now.
Wow.
Like, you know, and to you, I mean, you wind up out in Arizona from Jersey where you spent your whole life. I
why?
Mean,
why? Because you called me Flex one night.
Yeah, because him. Because a call screener couldn't hear the name Felix on the phone, typed in as Flex, and myself and John Bloom called you Flex ever since then. And like little things happen. Yeah. This team, this game, there's more to it than just the box score, the wins, the losses, the frustration, because each of these guys on this roster may not be here next year. That's not breaking news. It's just the
it's
reality
just a fact.
Of
yeah.
life and business, right? But we still will be.
Yeah.
The team will be if we're lucky enough. Now, obviously, that can change in situations too. But this team is what you root for. The owners will come and go. Players will come and go. Broadcasters will come and go. Colors could even change. But it's those moments, those memories, those things that have entrenched you to it since day one that is why you're a fan. So get frustrated. That's fine. Get mad at times, but always go back to that moment and go, this is why. This is why it's so important to me, because then it kind of recenters it. And that is my sermon and my TED Talk.
No, that's cool, man. I love this. And I think there's an opportunity for us to do a little bit more of this because I think it's needed. It's been a tough season. I'll end it from my portion with this. When I called you 10 years ago, my dear friend, my brother who I love Espo to death. When I called you over 10 years ago and you said, hey, we got Flex from Jersey on the phone, I'd never in my wildest dreams think I'd be sitting here with you right now doing two-man game.
Having changed your name.
No, you know, doing two-man game, living in Arizona.
Yeah.
I told you my first love was the Phoenix Suns, mm-hmm. and I have a picture that I'll share with you, and we'll probably could share with you guys too. When I came to Arizona to the Suns arena for the first time years back, I was privileged to know some good people and have some good friends. And I was allowed to go to center court with my dad. And I kissed the floor and I took a picture. And it was like kissing that girl that you've been chasing your whole life. And you finally reconnected with her and you got that first kiss. This basketball team saved my life. This basketball team is why me and my family are living in Arizona and plan to make Arizona our home for the rest of our lives. And none of that is possible without this basketball team and the community and the fan base and the energy. And so when you're thinking about, you know, what the future holds for this basketball team and this game coming up on Friday, take a deep breath, realize why you became a fan, go back and get a little nostalgic, and realize that we have a game Friday, man. Yeah. And for good or for bad, we have a game on Friday, and that's what I'm rolling with. Yeah. I'm happy for Friday.
Pull out the old jersey, look at the old basketball cards, go hell, look up on YouTube old highlights of the team that made you fall in love with it, and then let's lock in. Let's try to have some fun with it on Friday, Game 3, Wolves and Suns here in Phoenix. He is Flex. He's throwing it down when I lob it up to him. I'm Espo. Talk to you next time here on Two Man Game.
Peace.